cord has been pressed. Great stuff. Yes. Yeah. So hopefully you've seen, if you're not signed up to our newsletter, sign up on the website and you'll get all the info and the WhatsApp chat. We're going to send some stuff out through that as well to be in the WhatsApp community. But this month of September, we've as a group of elders decided that we felt that it was right to enter into a season of prayer and to start. It's almost like it's a new year, isn't it? September kind of feels like there's a change of season, things rev up again. And we just felt this was a significant time for us to enter into a season of prayer. And the theme of that prayer that we're going to step into is the theme of consecration. Excuse me. In May, we have our Elam Leaders Summit, and that happens in Harrogate. And May just gone, we appointed a new, it's a very posh title in Elam, it's the General Superintendent. Sounds very grand, doesn't it? National leader of Elam, Mark Pugh, who was a minister at the Elam Church in Exeter, is now going to be leading the Elam movement. And he started his role by inviting us as Elam into a season of consecration, as individuals, as leaders, as churches, as a movement. And so we're taking that theme. Not every church is doing a month of prayer, but we're doing a month of prayer in September. And we wanted to take that theme of consecration and use it in this month, individually, collectively, as we pray. Something significant in this church about prayer. We've carried a burden for prayer, and it just feels like that needs to be reignited, and the flame for prayer and seeking God needs to be relit. So we're entering this season where we focus on it. And so during September, we invite you, and I'll talk at the end let's say we're going to be finished by 1:30, okay? So those of you that like to know what's going on, my kids love to know what's going on. There's like constantly saying, what's next, Daddy? What's next, Daddy? So for those of you that like feel secure when you know what's going on, we'll be finishing by 1:30. Not that I've got a clock anywhere to see what the time is, but yeah, you count me down. I've got distracted already. You've distracted me. I'm blaming you because what was I saying? So I'll tell you at the end how we can get into that. But we're going to be gathering around two themes. So the first 2 weeks, we're going to gather around the theme of covenant. So as we look at consecration, we're going to look at this theme of covenant. Covenant is another word we don't really use very often, but it's about relationship. It's about a committed relationship. It's about intimacy. It's about being known by God and being more fully drawn into knowing him. It's the invitation by Jesus to each of us to know him. So we're going to explore that. And we're going to take some body parts each week. Okay, so before you just dive into a random, like, what's he on about? Let me explain the body parts. So covenant, we're going to look at our eyes and our heart. So what we look at and where we're at with our heart. And so that idea of covenant, what we gaze on. Do we gaze on the beauty of God? What do we give our sight to? What do we pay attention to? And our heart, biblically speaking, the heart isn't just our feelings and our emotions. It's our will, our way, our attitude. So that's who we are. So in those first 2 weeks, on the Sundays, we're going to unpack. So next week, we'll be looking at the eyes. The week after that, the heart, around this theme of covenant. And then the following 2 weeks, we're going to look at kingdom. As we look at consecration, we're going to look at kingdom. And the body parts there, we're going to look at our hands and feet, what we give ourselves to and where we go. And so on the Sundays, we'll unpack that around those two themes of kingdom and covenant. So I want to start this introduction, really, to our month of prayer about asking the question, or two questions. We'll get to the second one in a minute. What is consecration? Because it's not a word that you hear very often these days, is it? Like, what have you been up to? Oh, just chilling out, maxing, relaxing on cool. Why have I gone in? Sorry. I went into the lyrics of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air for some reason there. Intrusive thoughts invaded me. I've got distracted again. I've been on holiday this week, so I've been in like chill mode. So I haven't been watching Fresh Prince, but for some reason I went into the lyrics of Fresh Prince there to talk about consecration. So I've been relaxing and consecration, that's what I was saying. You don't say that very often. It's like I've been relaxing and just consecrating myself. It's not something that we do and say very often. So what is consecration? Well, I saw this quote by author and poet Jordan Seng, which should come up on the screen. He said, consecration refers to the way we dedicate ourselves to the things of God through specific sacrificial acts. The more of ourselves we set apart exclusively for God's use, the larger our capacity to flow in God's supernatural power. I think that's a great definition of consecration. So consecration is something tangible. He says there it's specific sacrificial acts. specific things. It's not just it's not a metaphor. It's not just like we're gonna imagine that we're consecrated. It's something specific and tangible that we do as we step into a season of consecration, specific acts. So I want to unpack through Scripture what is consecration. I'm going to give you three things. You've got double bonuses this week because you're going to have 6 points from the two questions, and we'll fly through them. But your first 3 points, because it's a sermon, so it's got to have 3 points, but it's actually got six, but we'll go with it. You'll be really impressed with the second three, just so you get excited for when we get there. But the biblically speaking, what is this? There's like a process to consecration. Okay, so I want to unpack it so we're all on the same page as we start this month of prayer. Is what is consecration? What is we're stepping into? And the first movement of consecration is cleansing. There is a cleansing. Now, I'm guessing this morning, I can probably guess those that didn't, woke up and had a shower. You got up, or you brushed your teeth, or you had a drink. You did something that involved water, because water is so freely available. Those that work in other nations, you'll know that actually water is more of a precious commodity in other nations than it is in ours. We can just go to the tap, we flick on, we make our coffee, we have our water, we brush our teeth. But water, for so many of the world, is a rare commodity. And at the time, in the Old Testament, in New Testament, in antiquity, in the ancient Middle East, water was a rare, scarce commodity. And so it actually wasn't used for cleaning yourself. Oils and ointments, that's what people used for cleansing themselves. Water was reserved for purifying yourself when you came to God in worship. You would wash your hands or wash your body, because they knew that they needed to be cleansed in order to come into the presence of God. And so water was this scarce, rare, precious thing that people used to cleanse themselves. Consecration requires us to cleanse ourselves. Now, I want to be really clear in what I'm trying to communicate here. When I say consecration requires us to cleanse ourselves, I'm not talking about a religious self-righteousness. I'm not talking about I've got to do good in order to be good and then God will accept my offering of my life. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not we have to fix ourselves up for God to accept us. This is about a cleansing, is about applying what Jesus has already done for us. About acknowledging it, accepting it, and receiving it, and actually living into it. Too many people will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and yet they live in a way that is crushed and pressed down, and I'm not worth, full of shame and guilt, because they don't accept that Jesus actually paid the price and has cleansed them from all unrighteousness. In fact, that's in 1 John 1:7. It says this: but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love the balance in that verse. Like, if you confess what you know, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and will forgive you of all unrighteousness. Everything that you know, don't know, didn't understand, didn't realize, what you did willfully, what you didn't do unwillfully, all unrighteousness, all that keeps us from God, he forgives it. If you just acknowledge what you know. Consecration requires a cleansing. It requires a confession, an application. And that's how we apply the reality of what Jesus has done for us. See, consecration is not the absence of sin, but the acknowledgement of sin and our complete and utter dependency on Jesus to make us clean. So as we enter into this season of consecration, we say, Jesus, you died for me. I don't come with shame and guilt because of this or that. I confess it because then I know that there is a freedom that comes. There is a cleansing that comes. Oh, there's so many of the Psalms talk about this freedom and liberty that comes. I think Psalm 33 I was reading this morning, it talks about when you confess that there's this freedom and liberty, and blessed is the one that confesses. So the water was a rare resource, but actually the people had to use the water in order to be clean. The grace of God, the cleansing of Jesus needs to be used. As we come before him and we pray, we can thank him and we can confess and we can use that living water that never ever runs out in order to know that we are clean and that we are made clean. So consecration requires a cleansing. Secondly, consecration also requires a sacrifice. It's a popular word, isn't it? Woohoo! Sacrifice. Gotta love the sermon that's got the word sacrifice in it. But if you go through ceremonial cleansing using this rare resource, you are giving up that water that could have been used for so many other things. Think of how many people could have drunk that water and known refreshing. How many things could have been cleaned. How we could have been cleaned. But no, we're going to use that water. We're going to sacrifice, not using it for that, and we're going to use it for this purpose in order to be cleansed for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Shows how serious we are when it comes to our relationship with God. That he was serious enough about us to die for us. And so we say, there's going to be something that I say no to, something that I sacrifice. Consecration requires a giving up, a laying down of something. Do you remember King David in 2 Samuel 24? He's disobeyed God, really, in this moment by counting his fighting men. And what he should have been doing is counting on the living God to see him through the battle. And so in that moment, he has to repent. And this guy comes up to him and says, I've got some land if you want to make your sacrifice on that land. And David says, no, I don't want to give the Lord something that hasn't cost me anything. I'm not going to sacrifice something that hasn't cost me something. David gets in that moment that sacrifice requires a cost. There is a sacrificial element to consecration. If we move into the New Testament, Paul writes in Romans 12, really well-known passage. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know the will of God, his good, perfect, pleasing will. All of who we are. Our eyes, our heart, our hands, our feet. The idea is in this, as we look into these areas, it's signifying every part of who we are, inward, outward, what we give ourselves to, where we go, what we do. It's a living sacrifice. Consecration requires a sacrifice. We are called to be that living sacrifice. See, there's no need for animals to be given to God anymore because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what John the Baptist declared when he saw Jesus walking towards him. There's the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world. There's the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. Every sacrifice in the Old Testament points towards the one, points towards Jesus that would give himself up for each of us. So again, in this idea of sacrifice, we get to also receive what Jesus has already done for us, paying the ultimate sacrifice. And out of that, we live obedient, sacrificial lives. This is my life. Will you take it? But there's a cost. This isn't as easy, actually, as just laying down on an altar and dying. It's about giving every moment increasingly. When we get it wrong and when we fail, we go back to the cleansing. Oh, thank you that you've paid the price, that you've made a way. Consecration requires sacrifice. The dictionary definition of sacrifice is anything consecrated and offered to God. So to be a living sacrifice, how do we do that? Paul tells us, don't conform to the pattern of this world. In other words, live a consecrated life. Be different, be set apart. That's the invitation, and that's what we're going to explore. So consecration requires a cleansing. It requires a sacrifice. And thirdly, you think you're nearly done. Don't worry, we've got another 3 points. Thirdly, it requires dedication. Now, when I say dedication, I don't mean like commitment and keep going. I mean offering and giving, a dedication. Through the consecration, there is a dedication. If sacrifice is laying something down, it's almost like the dedication is then the choice, the positive pursuit of the one that we've sacrificed to, that we seek him and live for him. See, throughout the Bible, consecration comes with dedication. We see the firstborn is consecrated to the Lord. Think of Hannah and Samuel. Hannah was childless, and year after year, she prays to conceive. And eventually she does. And then there's 1 year where she goes to the temple and she's required to make a sacrifice. She makes the sacrifice. And in that moment, in 1 Samuel 1:26, Hannah's speaking to the priest. And this is what she says. Please, my Lord, she said, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this boy, Samuel, that's who she's talking about. And since the Lord gave me what I asked him, I now give the boy to the Lord, not as a sacrifice, not laying him down, not taking his life, as a dedication. I dedicate this child to the Lord. For as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. Then he worshipped the Lord there. Hannah dedicated that which cost her the most, her deepest longing. There's a cost to dedication like there is with sacrifice. But if you go on and read chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, then actually what you'll see is Hannah's prayer is filled with joy at this opportunity to dedicate. Why? Because she doesn't let the gift become greater than the giver. And in dedication, we acknowledge that no matter what I've been given, it's because he is the greatest giver in the world. And we acknowledge him as the ultimate giver. And so why would I not dedicate my life to him? Everything that I lay down, everything that I feel like I'm giving up, actually that I dedicate to God, he will take and use for his glory, and he gets seen, and he's the giver, and I will not let any gift become higher than the one who is the ultimate giver. That's what we do in dedication. So in consecration, what is consecration? It means there's a cleansing. It means there's a sacrifice, and it means there's a dedication. That's what sacrifice is. What consecration is. My final 3 points that we'll race through is this. What is consecration for? If that's what consecration is, it's a cleansing, it's a sacrifice, it's a dedication. What is consecration for? I want to give you 3 P's. That's why it's a proper sermon. There we go. Some of you are happy. I couldn't think of 3 starting with the same letter for consecration, sacrifice, and dedication. Didn't really work. So you've got a few letters of the alphabet there, but to end with, we're going to end on a high. 3 P's for consecration. I should have done 3 C's, but it didn't work. So 3 P's for consecration. Consecration is for a person. Consecration is for a person. It is not about trying to be more holy or reach some biblical moral standard. It's about Jesus. Consecration is relational. Look at this verse from Titus 2, the most incredible verse on consecration. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us," here's the consecration bit, "instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lust and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age." There's the consecration bit. Why? "While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the Lord, of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, he gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse us." Why? What's the purpose? For himself. That's why. We've been cleansed, we've sacrificed, we dedicate, because it's for a person. He saved us for himself, a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. As I'm reading that, my mind went to 1 Peter 2, where it talks about that we are God's his possession, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And what's it say next? His special possession. It's about a relationship. It's all about relationship. It's like God is looking at the universe and going, "Ah, it's incredible. I made that. It's unbelievable. And it gives glory to me, the trees, the animals, the hippos, the stars. It's incredible." And then he looks at his people, those that have said yes to Jesus, and he says, "Now they're my favorites. They're my special possession." Consecration is about relationship. Our God is a relational God. The purpose of this story is a relational story. Do you know we all live into stories? Story is so powerful. Story defines who we are and what we do. And God made it very clear from the very beginning that this is a relational story that we're in. If you think you are in an economic story, then your story will be defined by better economics. I need more money in order to do this. But let me tell you, you'll always need a little bit more. There'll always be more that you need. It's always the next bit. If I could just get that, then I'll be okay. If you live in a circumstance story, then better circumstances will be what you need. If only this wasn't happening, or if only this was happening. But you can't control that. You have no control over your circumstances. If you live in a story of education, then the answer will be more content, more understanding, more knowledge. But if you live into a relational story, then the answer is a relationship. And that's what this is all about. That you are in a relational story, and there is a relationship that you need. This story of Scripture starts and ends with a marriage. If you needed any more proof that this is a relational story, if you look at Genesis 1 and 2, it speaks of Adam and Eve, one man, one woman entering in, and the language that is used is that of a marriage. Look at Genesis 2:23. It says, "And the man said, 'This one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for she is taken from man.'" This is why a man, listen to this language, "This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds to his wife. They become one flesh. Both man and his wife were naked, yet felt no shame." It's a marriage. It's the language of marriage right there at the start of the story. And then if you go to the very end of the story, Revelation 19, starting in verse 6, it says, "Hallelujah, because our Lord God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his bride has prepared herself. She was given fine linen to wear, bright and pure. The fine linen represents the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, 'Write, blessed are those invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb.' He also said to me, 'These words of God are true.'" It's a marriage right at the end. When Jesus returns, his spotless bride, the church, those that have said yes and have that relationship with Jesus. It's described as this marriage feast, a marriage banquet. Right at the start, right at the end, this is a relational story. And you see, when we get married, we say a million no's in order to say one yes. We say no to so many things, forsaking all others in order to say yes to that one. We say no to so many other pursuits in order to pursue alongside that other one. That's the cost that comes with a relational story, 1,000 no's that don't matter, because now you get to say yes to the one that truly matters. It's a relational thing. So as we step into this season and looking at consecration, we're not consecrating ourselves to a tradition. We consecrate ourselves to a person, to Jesus. So what is consecration for? It's for a person. Secondly, it's for a purpose. We consecrate ourselves for a purpose. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20. Might seem like an obscure verse when you first read it, but just look at it through the language and the lens of consecration. It says, "Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also those of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable. So if anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a special instrument set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work." I'm going to answer a rhetorical question now. So I'll ask a question, which I know you're all begging to ask me, by the way. And I'm going to answer it. But who does God use in this world to do his will? I knew that was the question you were asking. So I just jumped ahead of you, and I'm going to answer that question for you. Who does God use in this world to do his will? The consecrated. God uses the consecrated, those set apart, those that have given their life to him, those that rely on him for his cleansing, those that sacrifice, those that dedicate, those that are seeking him, personally relating to him. God uses the consecrated. This verse literally says, in the household of God, there are all sorts of vessels. And which ones does he use? Which ones are honorable? Those that are consecrated. They have a purpose. God honors people who consecrate themselves to him. I love the way the Message translation puts this verse. It says, become the kind of container God can use to present any and every kind of gift to his guests for their blessing. Suddenly we have a purpose. We're not just a wooden container left on the side with no meaning. We get to be a container of God, the very presence of God, in order to bless. Mahatma Gandhi said this, "I like your Christ. I don't like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." See, when we consecrate ourselves, we become a vessel. What does the Message say? It says, become the kind of container God can use to present any and every kind of gift to his guests for their blessing. That's what it means to be consecrated, that we give our life to that person for a purpose, and the purpose to reveal him to a world that are desperately seeking him and they don't even realize it. So as you step into this season of consecration, covenant, and kingdom, We get to be in relationship with him in order to go and be him and represent him and partner with him in seeing his kingdom come. So the final, and I need to finish. I'm going to do this in 4 minutes. Consecration. It's for a person, it's for a purpose, and thirdly, it's for power. I want to go back to that quote that I said at the start. Consecration refers to the way we dedicate ourselves to the things of God through specific sacrificial acts. Hopefully this is starting to make a bit more sense as we've unpacked what consecration is. The more of ourselves we set apart exclusively for God's use, the larger our capacity, listen to this, the larger our capacity to flow in God's supernatural power. Acts 1:8, Jesus says to his disciples, "Stay here, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And what we then see is they consecrate themselves. They set themselves apart. They lay everything down, waiting on God. Now, that looks different in our world because we've got jobs and all that. We understand all of that. So we're going to explore how we step into this in the ordinary stuff of life. But there is an act of consecration, waiting on God. And then in Acts 2, we see that everyone is together and they are praying and waiting on God. And the power is released on the people. Do you notice something in Acts 2? It's a corporate thing as well. Let me just say, consecration is not just an individual, solitary, me and God sorted, I'm going to consecrate myself. Yes! There's something about a community. In Joshua 3, the word to the community is, consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. As a community, as a people, as God's people. And so there's ways that we can do this collectively as well as individually in this coming month. So we see in Acts 2, they were praying together, waiting on God, seeking God, consecrating themselves to him, and God releases the power. There is a power that is released. Consecration is our part. The releasing of God's power is his part. But I think God releases his power on the people that consecrate themselves to him. We don't give power tools to a two-year-old, do we? We give a plastic saw. Because we know it can be dangerous. Like I gave my electric saw when my son or daughter was 2 years old, there is a limb that is going to go in the wrong direction. So give them a little plastic saw. I think sometimes we want the power of God in our hands, but we don't have the character to bear it. And I say that to me before I say it to anybody else in the room. I've longed for God to move in power through us as a church. And I sometimes stand back and go, maybe I don't fully understand what that means. And I'm not sure my character could hold what I long for. So God, will you shape me? Will you mold me? I come again back to you. I need your cleansing. I've got to lay that down. That which I've given myself to, which isn't of you. I rededicate my life to you because you're the one I pursue. It's about you. And I know you've got a purpose in my life, so I give my life afresh to you and I step in again intentionally to those things that you've called me to. That's my part. And God, will you, as I step out, will you step in with your power? Because this world needs your supernatural power. It doesn't need me on a good day. It needs your power in and through me, speaking into people's lives, reaching the lost, setting the captives free. See, when we consecrate ourselves, we lay ourselves before God. We become, through consecration, through laying down every part of our life, increasingly yielding to him, we become the kind of person that can hold and handle the power of God. Consecration is not just something we do, it's who we are. Set apart in order to reveal the one who is set apart. And that's the invitation of this month. And it might sound heavy, but there's a joy. Like Hannah, she dedicated her son to the Lord, and there's a joy. Read 1 Samuel 2. There's joy in Hannah's life. There is a joy that comes as we give the gift of our life to the ultimate giver. So that's the end of my talk. Bang on. Right, now let me just do the application bit. 2 minutes. Just give me 2 minutes of your time, and then we're going to finish. And then we're back to like regular programming is scheduled next week. So I plan to finish around 12 o'clock next week because Ian preaches longer than me, and he's preaching on the eyes next week. So we need to give him some time. how can you engage? You can engage daily. If you want to be part of this month of prayer, you can engage daily. Monday to Friday, we pray. I don't know if you know this, but we pray every Monday to Friday as a church. 6:30 a.m. on Zoom. Don't worry, the cameras don't need to be on. We want to bless each other and the Lord. And so I keep my camera firmly off at that time in the morning. So you can join us on Zoom. We'll send the links out through the e-newsletter and through WhatsApp. 6:30, we're going to be praying into some scriptures that we've chosen for this month of consecration, a month of prayer. We also do that. We'll do the same at 10 o'clock. So you can do both if you want to double dip, or you can just do one. We're going to do the same prayers morning and evening. And so 6:30 for 15 minutes and 10 p.m. for 15 minutes on Zoom, you can join us. That is daily how you can do it. Weekly, daily also, we're going to send out a devotional. So the scriptures we use to pray through corporately together, you can use individually. And there's some devotional stuff with that that'll help you. So we'll send those out each week. Weekly, you can join us on this Sunday. We're going to be unpacking the eyes, the heart, the hands, the feet. You can be part of that as we seek to spend time in his presence together and ask him to speak to us. So you can engage weekly. You can also engage monthly. If you just want to, whatever it looks like for you and a sacrifice this month, maybe it's like, life is just crammed so much. Like, one thing I can give this month is I can come on that last Friday of the month to our building in Shottery and I can pray with some people. And so that's what we're going to do on the last, I don't know the date, we'll send it out, but the last Friday of the month, 8 until late, we're going to have like a half night of prayer with our young people, Limitless, on that Friday night. They explored prayer through Limitless Festival this year. And so we're not just going to talk about it, we're going to do it and we're going to pray together with young people, all of us together. And so if you want to be part of that, then 8 o'clock on that Friday. And so that's what we're doing this month. And so I'd encourage you to get signed up to our newsletter, engage in one of those ways where it's daily, weekly, monthly, however you're able to engage. We invite you to participate. And we want us to do this corporately and to do this together as a month of prayer, the start of this new season. So will you stand together? We're going to finish. And we're going to finish by, I just want to read this prayer out, which is A.W. Tozer. It'll be in the devotional stuff that's been sent out. But he began a lifelong pursuit of God after hearing a street preacher in Ohio, America. And he dedicated his life at the age of 17. And he had this prayer of commitment. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm speaking this out. You can choose to say amen at the end of this or not. I'm the one that's got to speak it out. So I'm a little bit nervous speaking this prayer out. I'm going to be honest. But in my nervousness of speaking out, because it's big. Consecration is not a small act. It is a yielding of ourselves to God. And so there is a seriousness to that, of going, do I really mean it? Am I really seeking to yield every area of my life increasingly to him? Now, I come with that prayer and I go, I know there's areas of my life I'm not yet yielding. So God, I need your strength and I need your help and your power in order to do that. And to trust the giver more than the gift. But I'm going to pray this out. And if you want this to be your prayer, then I encourage you, whether out loud or just quietly or in your heart, just say an amen at the end of it. Amen just simply means I agree. Which is always a little bit weird that we say amen at the end of our own prayers. But that's what it is. So I'm going to read this prayer out. And then we're going to draw things to a close. It says, I come to you today, O Lord, to give up my rights. To lay down my life, to offer my future, to give my devotion, my skills, my energies. I shall not waste time deploring my weaknesses, nor my unfittedness for the work. I acknowledge your choice with my life to make your Christ attractive and intelligible to those around me. I come to you for spiritual preparation. Put your hand upon me. Anoint me with the oil of the one with good news. Save me from compromise. Heal my soul from small ambitions. Deliver me from the itch to always be right. Save me from wasting time. I accept hard work. I ask for no easy place. Help me not to judge others who walk a smoother path. Show me those things that diminish spiritual power in my soul. I now consecrate my days to you. Make your will more precious than anyone or anything. Fill me with your power. And when at the end of life's journey I see you face to face, may I hear those undeserving words, well done, good and faithful servant. I ask this not for myself, but for the glory and the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so this month, we consecrate and seek to consecrate ourselves to you, God. We thank you for your cleansing. We thank you that we get to lay down those things that are we think are good, but ultimately are not your best for us. And we dedicate our life to you. We dedicate our life to you, Jesus Christ, the one in whom all things are held, all blessings are experienced, the person that we give ourselves to for your purpose, to see your kingdom invade our families, our workplaces, our streets, this church, this football club, every place that we put our feet and we give our hands. And we ask at the start of this week and this month, this new season, that as we do that, we'd see an increase in your power at work around us. And we pray all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.